Now we have arrived. I would love to introduce Darren to the podium to share with us his pitch. Please, please come, main speaker.
Darren Alcoholic.
Hey, Darren.
Well, I feel relieved now. You've got to be my opener from now on, you know? Yeah. So now you don't have to hear a bunch of bullshit, you know? I'm grateful to be alive and sober. I always say that because I am. You know, and there was a time in my life where I wasn't grateful to be alive if I was sober. I wanted to always be under the influence, man. You know, I can get into a drunk log, but I'm not. I'm an alcoholic, chronic alcoholic. It would take a while to explain the devastation and all the hell, bottom line, that I went through as a result of my drinking. I'm a blackout drinker, pass-out drinker, whichever came first. I got tired of coming 2, 3 to 8 days later, going, what the hell have I done? Jesus Christ, what happened? What did I say? And then flashing on some of the things I actually did. Hurting people emotionally, physically, you know, and it wasn't who I was. It wasn't who I was, you know. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, it wasn't because I had resentment. It wasn't because I had a perception problem. It wasn't because I had a terrible attitude. It wasn't because of a lot of the things that we hear in meetings. That's not why I came here. I came here because alcohol was ruining me, and it had been for a long time. I have come to find out that alcohol, and I didn't buy this, man, it's in the book. They say that alcohol is but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. And I thought that was a bunch of psychological bullcrap. I thought, what are they trying to do here? You know, that's how I used to think. I was very rebellious and very skeptical, because I was smart, one of those smart ones that was going to figure out the easy way out of this. I was going to find out what the damn sentence was. I asked Bill P., for those who remember, I went to Bill P. seriously. And I said, send me to the goddamn page. Put me to the fucking page, man. Because I don't want to read this book. Pardon my French, but this is how serious I really meant it. You know, talking about a perception problem and an attitude problem, I was above too much stuff. It almost killed me. Last time I drank, my sponsor saved my life. I was a 4-day blackout. I don't remember tipping the first drink. And I've shared a lot of what I'm sharing now in meetings through the days. It says in the book somewhere, because I'm not a page memorizer, but there's parts of the book that I do remember. And it says along the lines of, well, what it does say is that it's actually two paragraphs. It says, it is plain to see that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. Mm-hmm. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But for the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. I know what it means when the insanity returns, and I drank. My world turned red. I did not have the steps in my life. I heard the steps. I went to, at this time when I relapsed, I had somewhere between 700 and 800 meetings in me over the course of about a 10-month period. So I heard it. I tried. I really did. I mean, I really tried. But I had too much pride. I had too much closed-mindedness. I was willing to do what I was willing to do, you know, until I got broke from this last relapse. In hindsight, I can see where resentment, self-pity, anger, all of those things crept in, which are a part of my life, actually, less today than they were. But those were things that crept in, became a part of my life. It talks about in the book. It became a part of my life. Resentments, you know, all the stuff. And so I wouldn't buy the truth and think that, well, my alcohol was but a symptom. Give me a break. So my alcohol was the problem. Sober me up. Let me not have to drink, and I'll be all right. until I sobered up. And I, you know, that white knuckle stuff, I know what it is. I know what it means. I had 2 relapses in my story. Hopefully you don't. You don't have to. It's my story. But when I got, so my world turned red, I remember buying the booze. I remember buying it. I don't remember drinking a drop. I was insane. FTW, I didn't want to hear shit from anybody from AA. My sponsor, I had a door, my front door, and I was blacked out. Most of the time, there were a couple of flashbacks, and there was this little door you could open up. My sponsor was checking on me, because he knew what kind of drunk I am, and what kind of alcoholic I am. Who is it? And I'm thinking, you know, who is that? Go up to it. I swear. I opened it up. I saw it was him, and I closed it right back. And I just continued doing my things. And I was drinking myself literally to death. And it was insane, the amount of alcohol that I went through. And I was after almost 7 months sober. So, anyways, I got into detox. Again. And if there's anybody here from detox or anything, kind of recovery home thing or whatever, detox was and is a great place to just to take the backpack off and relax and try to just regroup. Is this where I really want to be? Is this where I want my life to go? Is this what I want to happen for the rest of my life, however long it may last? Or do I want to get in the stream of life and living? I would vision people that had a couple of cars in a driveway and owned a home, not a mansion, just a home, had a couple of kids dressed up for Easter, and so I'd be thinking about things like this periodically when I was drinking. I was incapable of that. It wasn't going to happen. It didn't happen. Too chronic, man. My thing was going home to nothing except for my bottle and my beer, because I'm the type of drinker that drinks brandy out of a coffee cup and chases with beer. And I still love beer to this day. I love it. I don't desire it, but I like beer. And that's how I drank. And I usually had some, you know, I mean, part of my story is drugs too, but alcohol's what got me in the rooms. You know, it was alcohol that got me in the rooms. And I just couldn't stop drinking. I could not imagine life without it. For years, in spite of the consequences, I had 5 drunk drivings over the course of time. I had 2 drunk in public, so I had an open container that should have been a drunk driving. I got away with murder with that. You know, I mean, I was such a victim before. It's like, ah, shit, man, I was going to pull over before, and I was, you know, I was going to do this before, and I was going to, and I called somebody to give me a ride, you know, and it was always somebody else's fault, you know. And, but, man, I got away with hundreds of times drinking blacked out, not even remembering how I got home. Anybody, you know, might relate to this. I was terrified to go out because I didn't know how the hell I got home a lot of the time. Terrified to go out and look and see if my car or truck or whatever the hell I was driving, if I had something, was dented with blood all over it. I was scared shitless every time. I'd be terrified. That was a great way to live. Come to drunkard and shit, hungover, shaken, and going, Jesus Christ, and scared. Sneaking out to go look at your own car. Because I don't know if I hit somebody and killed somebody. And God forbid it was a child, you know. You know, so, I mean, anyways, that's just a sliver of the agony, I'll say, that we have when we are in the active part of the disease. You know, I know for me, that's how it was for me. Not to include probably hundreds of times coming to in my own urine. That's really grown up and manly. You know, talk about getting resentments and inward hate. It's like, Jesus Christ, really? Again? Get in the shower at freaking 3 in the morning, having to go to work, cracking the bottle, tipping it up in the shower. FTW.
Yeah.
You know? I hated life. I hated me. It was all unfair. It wasn't right. So on and so on. It's different today. I can tell you, for me, Alcoholics Anonymous has given me a life. It's given me a way to see things a lot more proper. I'll say quite a bit more accurate. It's given me a way to own my own crap. I didn't know how to handle life. I didn't know how to handle people. and take the edge off. Okay, that makes it better. That, boom. Okay, I'm cool now. You know, just, I was okay. I don't have to drink today, feel okay. It's not just the steps. God's in the center of those things, man. Bill Wilson in his story says, starts. We talk about how, H-O-W, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness are the essentials of recovery. Bill Wilson's story basically says the same thing, but he starts with belief in the power of God plus. Belief in the power of God plus enough honesty, willingness, and humility, humility being open-mindedness, in order to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements. But he said, I love how he puts it, belief in the power of God. And the doctor's opinion, I brought my book here, because the doctor's opinion says that, because I don't know word for word necessarily, but he says that these people being AAs back in the day and today, is that their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they were to recreate their lives. We don't recreate our lives. God does, I believe, absolutely. He's recreated mine, in spite of the good and seemingly bad. But in order, my beliefs must be grounded in a power beyond things human, and they are. I don't live really spiritual sometimes. I don't cuss as much as Ann, but I cuss. No, I'm more kidding. And I still get ticked off. I still cop resentments. I still have issues, you know. But you know what? I get over it. And I don't just sit here and try to just go, okay. You know, it's not about that. I got to take a look at why do I get ticked off? Alcoholics Anonymous has shown me this self-searching analysis, this inventory process. And I don't have to go home every day and write about it. It's a living program. Once we go through the meat and potatoes of the program, it becomes a living process. And I don't always live it now, but I do. I have to take a look because I believe that I'd be loaded right now or dead if I didn't apply this program. It really is simple. Not always easy, certainly not easy. But I have to encourage those of you who are new and who are struggling fresh out of the streets or fresh out of the drunk or whatever that are newer to certainly have a book, definitely try to get your nose in it, do some reading, a sponsor, cannot do this alone, sponsor for some direction, and somebody that I can hopefully trust in and be able to tell the deepest things that I need to tell that I don't want to reveal to everybody. You know, hopefully I can trust them. And I have. And do the steps. Because the steps are the program of recovery. And as a result, for me, my life is different. I'm free. I don't have the desire to drink me. That's the miracle of it that they talk about in the book. It just left. It didn't just leave by not doing the steps. It didn't just leave by not believing in something beyond things human that is incredibly powerful to be able to relieve me of the insane, powerful, awful addiction to alcohol and other things. So I don't stand alone. There's a lot of people in here with time. I want to thank, you know, Ron, that very close and dear friend of mine coming all the way from Santa Barbara. I know just to support me in spite of the fact that he's not feeling that well. There's others here that I know that are supporting Ann and myself, that we love and care about dearly. And if you're new and we don't know you, guess what? We still love you. We don't know. How do you love me? You don't know. If you're an alcoholic who suffers, I understand you. And I know the kind of shit you go through and have gone through. Maybe not everything, but I can identify. And I feel for you. Because I know how hard it was for me. Alcoholics Anonymous is the solution in my life. Has been. And hopefully always will be. You saw how beautiful my wife is. Again, we met in the rooms, real quick, hopefully. What she didn't share about. I'm not going to embarrass you. So, she didn't tell you what I put on those flowers. I hope your day is as beautiful as you are. Okay, that's what I put, and this is before we hitched up, of course. But here's another thing. I knew if we kept hanging out, she was going to give in.
And she did.
And we've been together for 19 years, man. I'm pretty close to 19 years now. She's the love of my life, and she's awesome. And I met her in here. Not to suggest, those of you who are newer, that you're going to find the love of your life in these rooms, but I did. And it's been a gift. There's a lot of good people in these rooms, man. Do not hesitate to ask for help. There's no such thing as a stupid question. There's no such thing as stupid anything. You know, if anything, I want to stay stupid because I don't want to have all the answers. You know? I want to stay stupid. I want to stay stupid. I'm pretty fucking smart, but I want to stay stupid. 3.8 GPA for business. No. So anyway, yeah, I went to school sober, man. I went to school for about a year, up until about a year ago. Still actually taking a few classes, but yeah, I've done very well in school. So I'm not, it's not that. I mean, really, the bottom line is to stay humble. That's what I mean by that. I want to stay, I want to have all the answers. As soon as I think I've got all the answers, I'm out of here. And then I don't think it's going to be long before I'm out of here, out of the stream of life. Stick with us, newcomers, and do the work, man. Do the work. It's here. It's an awesome program. Thanks for asking me to share.
Thank you, Darren, very much. Both of you guys.
Can I get another card? Thank you.